Well, our entire staff team is battling sickness right now. We're all giving each other hugs up here. Praise be to God. So be praying for Kevin and others. I know Heather and Josh just coming off, and then Janelle, she's not feeling well either. So just pray for our team and for anybody else right now that you're battling the colds. It's the toughest part of the season to do that in is when, am I not on? You're still on the other side of the cold there, Josh. You got to, all right. And when you're in the middle of summer and you have that cold in the middle of summer, that's just always terrible. So just praying for people that are travailing through sickness and illness today. So glad you made it to worship this morning here at Rolling Plains. It's good to be with you. And just wanted to share with you, I am really looking forward to helping everybody remember their baptism today at 4 o'clock. Because if you come when it's raining and it's 65 degrees outside, you can't help but remember your baptism. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I really want to encourage you as the family of God that we are going to go forward with our baptisms today at 4 o'clock at Lake Isabella, and as far as I know, we're still going to be having a picnic together. The food has already been purchased, and what's going to be provided for, the main dishes will be, but if you're willing to bring a dessert, something that doesn't require to be refrigerated or whatever, actually today, that's not an issue, is it? But listen, if the Holy Spirit can warm up a heart, He can warm up a lake. Amen? I mean, come on now. So we've got about 10 people that are going to be coming out for baptism today. And I believe the family of God ought to show up when we're celebrating the waters of baptism and to celebrate that together. It's an extended worship experience, isn't it? And so I'm looking forward to doing that with you. And I was Paul was reminding me that pastors previous had baptized in 55-degree weather. Well, we're 10 degrees better than that today, so we'll be just fine. I'm looking forward to really sharing that with you. That's 4 o'clock today at Lake Isabella, and we'll see you there for that because we're going somewhere. And in the name of God, God's guiding us and leading us. We're on this journey. We're coming, connecting, growing, and going in the name of God. And today we're going to, literally, going to Lake Isabella, and we're going to the waters. We're going down to the river. We're going down to the pond, and we're going to experience the gracious sacrament of holy baptism. And I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. So hey, we're starting a brand new sermon series today, and just to top this sermon series off, or to kind of kick it into gear, and I really appreciate our signs outside the church, and we'll typically just put the title of the sermon series out there, and the titles are kind of really meant to kind of have people kind of pause and pay attention to them, and evidently it worked this week, because we were on our way back from picking up Elizabeth from soccer practice. She and I were leaving soccer practice, and on our way home, and I guess I accelerated the gas pedal a little bit too much as I was crossing from the gate here at Maysville Schools down onto Panther Drive. I mean, not that I ever drive faster than the speed limit. But on this particular occasion, Elizabeth said, "Would you stop driving so crazy, Dad?" She says, "Just like the sign says, you drive me crazy." So that drives me crazy, Dad. And that's really what kind of we're talking about today. We're kind of talking about this moment where, you know, we have loved ones in our life, and God is our loved one, and we're His loved ones. And there are moments where our loved ones kind of drive us crazy. There's no hate. There's not even maybe even anger there. There's just this loving, you know what, that habit, that thing that you do, it just kind of drives me a little bit crazy. What might that be in your household? Do you have a spouse or a loved one that's just a little bit messier than you are? Do you have somebody in your life that has a hard time listening? Now here's what happens in our house. I will ask Aaron a question, and I won't bother to listen for the answer. You ever have that issue? And I mean, I'm not talking to anybody else here. This just goes on in our household. But I'll ask Aaron a question. She'll give me the answer. 5 minutes later, I'm asking her the same question, and I've realized that here's the funny thing. It's got to the point where I've realized I've already asked the question, and I'm already admitting that I haven't listened for the answer. And so I'll simply say, "Now, honey, I know I already asked you this question, and I confess to you I didn't bother listening to the answer, but can you give me the answer to this question again?" And some of you are shaking your head. No, you get it one time, and that's it. How about somebody in your life that just likes things a particular way, and it's a little bit different than the way that you like things, and so you walk into the room, and things are a little bit different than you left them, and it kind of drives you a little bit crazy. How about somebody in your life that's a little bit later than you would like, or you find yourself waiting on them on a regular basis? How about somebody in your life that procrastinates? You know, they're kind of always putting things off, and you're that person that, you know, it's done before the day is even begun, and you're just ready to have that thing done, and they're kind of putting things off, and it just kind of drives you a little bit crazy. How about when it comes to spending, when it comes to finances, and you have somebody in your life, and you guys are kind of constantly working through that, and spending habits, patterns are a little bit different between people, and that kind of causes us to feel like, man, that drives me a little bit crazy. Now, in a loving way, because God is our Creator God and loves us so much, we're going to talk about what bothers God. We're going to talk about habits within the Christian faith. And for most of this, this isn't talking about people that are living, you know, outside the church, people that aren't necessarily connected to God in a relationship. This isn't to tear people up. This is really to take a look at Christ followers and to say, what are some habits of Christ followers that really kind of just drive God a little bit crazy? And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're trying out this church thing, this sermon series is going to speak to you too. We're so glad that you're here. And we pray that the Holy Spirit and the power of God will touch your heart, so you can find Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But we're going to talk about what bothers God. Let's go a little bit further. What breaks God's heart? What would be something that is dissatisfactory to our Creator God, to our Father in heaven, that would drive God a little bit crazy? You know, you ever do all that work to find that perfect gift for somebody, and you're so excited to give them that gift? I mean, you just can't wait for them to open it up. You can't wait to drive it up the driveway. You can't wait to just drop it off in front of them or hand it over to them. You've put blood, sweat, and tears and a little bit of finances behind this gift, and you are so excited with all the work and anticipation that you have to give them this gift. Now, I remember a lot of Christmases. One particular Christmas I remember when I was a young person. And I just remember, what I remember about that Christmas is after opening up all my gifts, I was so frustrated as a young, I must have been like 11 or 12, I don't know. So frustrated and disgusted that I didn't get anything that I wanted for Christmas that I just let my parents know about it. I just want you to know I didn't get anything I wanted for Christmas. Now, again, you probably have never heard that in your household before from the young people that you've had a chance to raise or live in your life, but I just declared that moment. And here God is using people in my life that love me so much, trying to provide for me in great ways, that probably had great anticipation and excitement about that, and I didn't appreciate the gift at all. A couple times I've been on mission trips, and we spend some time when we're on mission trips, funny enough, doing some shopping because we're always having to look for souvenirs to bring back for our family members, correct? And so even in Vietnam, while we're there on missions, we're scouring through some of our free time through the local markets and looking for knickknacks and things like that. And you know, I always feel like I've found the perfect shirt or the perfect hat or the perfect set of headphones that may or may not be authentic or real, coming from Vietnam. And I bring them back for my family members, and then 3 weeks later, I never see them again. They're just gone. They're just gone. Now, I got to tell you, this may not work out for this illustration because I don't put a whole lot of time and thought into some of that stuff, but you still haul it back from the foreign country on the plane. You think about the person when you're buying it for them and you're ready to give it to them and you're waiting for them to be so excited and you give them this gift and they're just not all that excited. You just desperately want to bless a person with a special gift and they have no regard for the gift that you've given and they kind of just brush it off. So friends, in that frame of mind, because I believe we've all been there, we've been on the receiving end of that, and we've also been on the giving end of that, what do you think Jesus feels when he left heaven to come to earth? What do you think Jesus feels when he sacrificed everything for you and for me? What do you think Jesus feels when he was tortured and he shed his own blood and he died on the cross and then went down and kicked the devil's tail and rose from the dead and gave us the living word of God and he gives us access to the throne room of God and the power of prayer and charges us with the very real spiritual mission with purpose for the rest of our life and, oh, by the way, gave us the very same power that raised him from the dead that now lives in us? How do you think he feels when we go day in and day out and not even give him any kind of focus or attention whatsoever? And after all of the gift giving that he's done for you and for me, all the ways that he's blessed us and provided for us, is it possible that it may hurt the heart of God? That it may hurt the heart of God or disappoint God when we live spiritually indifferent lives? So if you're taking notes, this is where we're going for the day. Spiritual indifference drives God crazy. Or spiritual indifference drives Jesus crazy, our Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ. And we live in this post-Christian culture, and I believe this is really relevant for today and the world that we live in today. We live in a post-Christian culture, which means the majority of people in America or in places like Europe, they know about God, they know of God, but they're just not interested in the things of God. It's not that we have to educate, it's just that what we hear and what we know to be true, we just kind of like, meh, you know, I don't know about that. How you doing? Meh. What are you excited about? Meh. Are you making, by the way, meh is spelled M-E-H, if you want to know. Are you making a difference in the world? Nah, meh, I don't know. Do you have a spiritual purpose in mind? Meh, I don't know. And it's just so prevalent in today's world that we live in. As a matter of fact, it's not just a spiritual issue today. It's a spiritual issue that's been plaguing the local church for 2,000 years. If you look back into the book of Revelation, Jesus wrote seven letters to seven different churches, and one of the churches was a letter to the church at Laodicea. And they had a meh kind of attitude going on when it came to the ideas of a spiritual and fulfilling relationship with God. And now this is a strong little community. To kind of paint a picture of the town of Laodicea and the church of Laodicea, they were actually recovering from an earthquake that was destroyed, that had destroyed the entire city. And this city over the course of years had rebuilt, and they became stronger than ever. They'd built lavish theaters and stadiums and lavish malls and spas. I mean, if you pictured it, it might be like a modern day Dubai experience, or even maybe a Las Vegas kind of place, where it's the kind of place to be with all the lights and the glitter and everything else. But they had one significant problem, and they had an issue with their water supply. They had an issue with their water supply. You see, the water that they had was tepid. The water that they had was just kind of stagnant. The water that they had was just kind of lukewarm. You know, they really didn't have a good water supply. Now, so what they did is they decided to build elaborate aqueducts from two other cities. And they did that because these two cities had very hot water and very cool water for them. So in Colossae, for example, Colossae was known for their cold water. Now, we all know the importance of cold water on a hot day. I mean, when you're having a hot day, you want a cold glass of water. Or you've been outside in the heat practicing in 100-degree heat for a soccer practice. I mean, I'm not speaking from experience from this past week on Tuesday night, but when I got back, I was ready for a cold shower and a cold beverage. You know, there are moments where you like your water cold. And so from Colossae, they were piping in this cold water that was soothing and refreshing to the body. Then in Hierapolis, they had hot springs. Hierapolis was known for their hot springs, these medicinal baths. I had a chance to go to Costa Rica for a mission trip several seasons of life ago at other churches. And they were known for their hot springs because we were at the foot of a volcano there. And we went to a hot bath. And what was interesting is that at the very bottom, that pool that you go to, actually Guatemala was the same experience. If you've ever been to Guatemala, when Lauren took us there, had the same thing. The lower the bath, the cooler the water. But the closer the bath is up the mountainside, the warmer and hotter the water is in those hot springs. And people would flock to that. Why? Because there's just something medicinal about that hot water. There's something, something powerful, something soothing, something medicinal about that hot water. Now, here was the problem, if you're picturing this. So you have cool water coming from Colossae. You have these hot springs that are providing hot water from Hierapolis. But the problem was, by the time the water got to Laodicea, guess what? It was no longer cold from Colossae, and the water was no longer hot from Hierapolis. And so they were living with lukewarm water. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there really anything in life that you can do with lukewarm water? I mean, do you really look forward to having lukewarm water as something provided for you in your cooking experiences, in your drinking experiences, in your bathing experiences? In what case is that helpful? Now, I can tell you right now, lukewarm water does not help when you get into the shower. That is not helpful. You want it warm, right? Lukewarm water doesn't help when you're trying to boil an egg or do some cooking because you need that water warm. Lukewarm water doesn't help when you need something really cool to cool you off, when you're looking for something to have a tall glass of lemonade or iced tea. You don't want your lemon. Who wants their lemonade and iced tea lukewarm? You just don't. You want it ice cold. And so what Jesus is going to do here in this letter in the book of Revelation is when he wrote them about their spiritual indifference, he uses a metaphor that they would have known exactly what he was meaning and talking about. And here it goes. If you want to open up your Bibles today to Revelation chapter 3, 15 to 16. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Why? Well, because both of them serve a purpose. Either being cold with cold water serves a purpose, or hot with hot water serves a purpose. But he's saying, you know, you don't have a purpose. You have neither one. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to, and these are God's words, spit you out of my mouth. Is it safe to say that this moment might drive God a little bit crazy when he uses the words, I am about to spit you out of my mouth? You see, what he's saying here to the church at Laodicea is I know you how you've been living this week. I know what you've done or not done this week. And I know whether you've been full of the Spirit and passionate. And I know whether you've been full of this spiritual energy for the things of the kingdom of God, or if you've been spiritually indifferent. I know if you've been hot or cold, because both serve a purpose, but you have not been, he's saying. You are neither one. And like the waters that come to your community, you have a lukewarm and stale spirit, because you are depressingly detached from the things that I'm bringing you, from the things of God. And after all I did, and after all I've given to you, you just don't seem to care, Church of Laodicea. Now, the translation, if you look in the original language of the text, for spit you out of my mouth, is actually something a little bit grosser than that. The translation would be, I want to vomit you out. I want to vomit you out. And so he's saying, listen, Laodicea, you are spiritually indifferent. And it doesn't just break my heart, it also harms my stomach, God is saying. It makes me sick to my stomach, your spiritual indifference. And so the question for us today is, how is it with our soul? How is it with us spiritually? Are we spiritually energized? Are we filled with the passion for the things of the kingdom of God? Or are we just kind of like, meh. You know, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to church, when it comes to life with God, when it comes to living faithfully for God and our families at work, at play, are we just kind of like, meh? And what we need to understand is God would share with us today that it breaks his heart. It hurts the heart of God, and it turns the stomach of God. Let's talk about two causes of spiritual indifference. Two causes of spiritual indifference, and here's the first one. If you're taking notes, the illusion of self-sufficiency. The illusion of self-sufficiency is really one of the causes of spiritual indifference. Let's go to God's word again in Revelation chapter 3, going on into verse 17. This is to follow up where he says, listen, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And here's why. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But God says, you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Again, strong statements from God. And maybe what God is trying to tell us here is, listen, we oftentimes think that we have what we need, but not realize that we're missing what matters most. I would dare say a lot of people, and maybe in our nation more so than other nations, because we are so affluent in our nation, that we think that we have what we need, but ultimately we're missing the mark. We're missing what matters most. And that's why you see so many people that have so much on the outside, have so little on the inside. That's why we see people with so much on the outside, so broken on the inside. And this is kind of this attitude that, you know, God, I'm good. I've got this. I don't need God because, listen, I've got my car that I can drive. I've got my iPhone 25 that has a screen that's bigger than my laptop. I have Netflix, and I can watch any show whenever I want to. I got Starbucks down the street. They serve up my favorite beverage. And if all that fails, I got my Alexa. I got Alexa at home that will just answer any question that I could ever possibly have, that gives me access to all the information that anybody could possibly ever conjure up. And I've got my own two hands, and my own two hands provided for all of this. I just got everything I need. Now, the problem for that is we're still spiritually void. We may be full of stuff and full of self, but we're empty of meaning, and we wind up living a spiritually bankrupt life. So one of the causes of spiritual indifference is, number one, the illusion of self-sufficiency. Secondly, another cause of spiritual indifference would be the distractions of this world. And Mark, in the Gospels, the Bible says, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things. It doesn't say wealth is bad, it just says the lie of it, what it might promise people, it doesn't really fulfill. The deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for all things come in and do what? Choke out the word. Choke out the word of God. So the word here isn't just the written word of God, it's literally Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living word of God, and also we have the written word of God, both speak into our life and live into our life. It's saying, is it possible that the things of this world are a distraction and they choke out the word, making it unfruitful in our life? It's not about being productive. It's about living fruitful lives for the kingdom of God. And so what happens here, what does that look like? Well, maybe we hear a word from God. We hear a word from God on Sunday morning, and we get moved by God, and we're spiritually stirred into this new life, and we've got this newfound passion, and we're ready to make this change. And then all of a sudden, come Monday and Tuesday, then life happens. Work gets full. One of the kids gets sick. One of the cars has issues. Then you got the kids' extracurricular activities you've got to go to. You got dishes to do. Your relationship's in a mess. Life just happens. It's not that we don't care. We just get distracted. And we get full of life. You know, one minute we're focused on that word that God has given us in the name of Jesus Christ, and then stuff happens, we get overwhelmed, and we're tired, so we decide to go on a Netflix binge, and the fire of God is all of a sudden on the other side of that gone. And it's been weeks since we've focused on the things of the kingdom of God because we've gotten distracted. We've gotten distracted. Now, friends, there are so many people in our world that have just a little bit of Jesus. There are so many of us that have just a little bit of Jesus, enough to make us feel good about eternity. You know, some of us were baptized as a kid, and we just have done the church thing ever since, or we go to church when we want to feel better about ourselves, and we're also not too busy to be able to go, or we pray when we need something, and we just have enough of God to give us a sense of comfort and security, but not so much that it truly changes us and transforms our whole life. Not so much that it moves us to grieve over our sin. We don't have enough of God that inspires us to pursue Jesus and give Him glory daily with every aspect of our life. And friends, what God would speak to us today is that drives Him a little bit crazy, like Pastor John's driving down the road when his daughter pays attention to that. You know, that whole lukewarm feeling, that indifference, it breaks God's heart. And He would tell you, He does tell us, it turns His stomach. Here's a quick six indicators that we are living with spiritual indifference, if you're taking notes. Six indicators. Number one, we're more concerned with impressing people than living for God. Now, I don't know anybody that deals with that in our society today with the advent of social media. And I tell you, when I'm on social media, it's just this natural feeling that I've got to impress somebody. When I'm on social media and we're putting out that perfect picture of whatever our family's doing or that statement that we're trying to make, I not only feel that for me, I feel that from other people. And so it's this filtered communication that we use to make sure that it can be the perfect statement or the perfect picture to bless people. And then the problem is when we get on social media, we see everybody else's best while we know our worst. And then it messes with us. We're more concerned with impressing people than we are living for God. Now listen, social media is a tool, I use it, but we're living in a day and age of brand new communication pieces and strategies every single day. And I'm not sure as a world we've caught up to the ramifications of those things and how we learn to live with those things. Here's a second thought, shot right out of the cannon here. Six indicators we're living with spiritual indifference. Number two, we're obsessed with life on earth rather than eternity in heaven. Whoa. We are obsessed with life on earth rather than eternity in heaven. Our treasure, the things that we love, the things that we focus on are all things of the world. They're all things that give a shot in the arm today. They're all things that stimulate our endorphins today. They're all things that stimulate our brain and our heart today. It's all temporary. It's fleeting. It's gone in a moment. And very rarely do people spend a lifetime focused on things that go beyond this life, according to what Jesus is saying here at the Church of Laodicea. Number three. Third reason for spiritual indifference, or indicators of spiritual indifference, we rationalize sin and we live without truly fearing God. Another indicator that we're living a spiritually indifferent life. We rationalize sin and we live without truly fearing God. You know, I'm not a bad person. I'm a pretty good person. I'm better than they are. I mean, I'm better than the person I'm sitting next to or I know or the person at the office. And everybody does, you know, that or this or the, you know, whatever. And well, the news media says that it's okay. So I'm good then. And who are you to judge anyways? I'm going to do what makes me happy. And ultimately people are encouraging me, just, you know, go for it. Just do whatever makes you happy. And so we rationalize sin and wind up living without truly fearing God. And therefore put up a barrier to receiving the holy character and the holy influence of God's Spirit that could change our life on a daily basis. And we wind up being spiritually indifferent. Number four, another indicator of being spiritually indifferent. We believe in Jesus, but we rarely share our faith. We believe in Jesus, but we rarely share our faith. Now, I've got it. I've got it in my life, and I'm okay. And my family member, well, you know, they're okay, but, you know, the ones outside of my immediate family, I'm not sure if they are, but I'm not too worried about that, and especially not other people's needs that I run into on a daily basis. And maybe one of the things that we ought to ask ourselves is perhaps we don't share our faith because ultimately, deep down inside, we may not believe that the gospel of heaven and hell actually exists, or that those things are very real places, and so we don't allow our light to shine, or we're concerned about offending somebody, or we're concerned about what kind of image that might create for somebody if we literally just simply brought up faith in a conversation. And even in some places, we might get retribution because of it. Here's the fifth indicator that we might be living spiritually indifferent. We only turn to God when we need Him. We only turn to God when we need Him. So we basically kind of treat God as this spiritual toolbox. And when we have a problem and something is broken and needs fixing, we go to that toolbox and we'll crank it open and we'll kind of rummage through it and we'll pay attention to this and that. We'll ignore all these other tools because this is the only tool we need for this application here. And when the thing is fixed, what do? We put the tool back in, we close the toolbox, and we set it under the counter and it continues to collect dust again until the next time we need something fixed, we go back to it. And so we put God back in the box after He's fixed what we've needed and go back to our regular life, quote unquote. You know, that there's the God life and then there's our regular life. There's church and then there's, well, the other 6 days of the week. And so we kind of treat God as this kind of guy that we just need when we need Him, and when we don't, we're on to other things, rather than seeking Him daily in a loving relationship. These are indicators of spiritual indifference. And then sixth and finally, we're not much different from the world. An indicator that we might be spiritually indifferent. When we look at our life and we look at the world, is our life any different? We may not look much different than the world. Do we watch and listen to the same things as the world? Do we do the same kind of things as the world? Do we use the same kind of words? Do we spend money the same way as the world? Do we raise our kid with the same values of the world? Do we spend our life doing the same things? And when we look at our life, we're not much different than the world, One day we kind of just wake up spiritually indifferent because we've just been so used to doing things the way that the world tells us we ought to do things. We wake up one day not necessarily doing bad things, but just doing things that pull our minds to the world and away from the kingdom of God, our focus. We wake up focused on that deal that we've got to find for that latest car that we need, or you know, the kids need braces and that just pulls us into a whole nother world, or our calendar is full of ECAs, or we're just seeking that perfect vacation. All the while life is happening, it's kind of choking out our passion for God just because we're doing normal life things. And pretty soon our life looks no different than the rest of the world. And after all He's done, and after who God is, and the opportunity that we have to live for Him, we find ourselves spiritually indifferent. You're not hot. You're not cold. And the problem is, both of those serve a purpose. And what Jesus says is, if you're not hot or you're not cold and you're lukewarm, we're not living the purpose that God has called us to and created us for. We're just kind of meh, lukewarm. How are things with your soul? Meh. You know, how are things going in your spiritual life? Meh. How are things with God? I don't know. I haven't checked in a while. You know, we want to go to church today, but it's too cold and it's too rainy outside, or I'm tired, so meh. You know, you want to get in a life group, grow your spiritual commitment. I'm just too busy for that. You want to use your gifts to that God has given you to bless people. I don't know if I can make that kind of commitment. You know, my kids got this thing that we've got to do. I've got to get my latte at Starbucks, and Breaking Bad has got a brand new season on Netflix, and I got to binge watch that thing. So, hey, listen, life just happens, and all of a sudden our attitude shifts. And we're not just breaking the heart of God. What God is saying is we're kind of turning His stomach, kind of driving Him crazy in that moment, that thing that we're doing. And that thing today is spiritual indifference. And God has a lot to say about it. So the question for us today is, how do we ignite the fire and consistently live with passion for Jesus? How do we ignite the fire and consistently live with passion for Jesus? Now, I can stand up here and tell you that we're going to get in God's Word together. And as individuals, we're going to get in God's Word, open up the good book, open up the Bible. We're going to talk to Him in fellowship and in our prayer life and get to praying with God. We're going to share our faith with your loved ones. We're going to share our faith in the name of Jesus Christ to other people we come in contact with. We're going to build godly relationships. We're going to get involved in a spiritual community like a life group. We're going to acknowledge God's presence and give Him glory daily in worship as an overflow of our heart. We're going to listen to the nudge of the Holy Spirit in us and turn from our sin and take on more of the character of God. And we're going to give it all to God and we're going to follow His lead. But that is an overwhelming list of things to do, right? I mean, if I just gave all that to you as an assignment, that is an overwhelming list of things to do. So let's just simplify it for today. Every day this week, let's do something that requires faith. Let's just start there. Every day this week, let's do something that requires faith. Something that requires us to daily allow the Spirit of God to lead us to do a thing that we would not normally do on our own that requires a bit of faith. So maybe every day this week you find little instances of stepping out in faith. Maybe that means you're going to stand up for somebody that's getting ripped on by somebody else when you normally wouldn't do that. That requires faith. Maybe on Tuesday you're going to give to a person a gift that stretches your comfort zone that you normally wouldn't just pay attention and give. Maybe on Wednesday you're going to forgive a person who hurt you, and later that day you're going to apologize to a person you hurt. Maybe on Friday, you're going to volunteer to pray out loud at the next gathering because that requires a step of faith. And when you do it, it somehow boosts the passion and boosts the energy level with God. Maybe you're going to reach out to a person that God puts on your heart and you're going to show them the love of Jesus and who He is. Maybe just in simple conversation around the water cooler this week, you're going to take a step of faith and you're going to bring up your faith in simple and small ways and see how God might lead that. Maybe you're going to take a step toward doing something about that thing that is breaking your heart that requires a step of faith. Maybe on Saturday, you're going to pray for something that seems impossible by man, but is possible for God. Maybe on Sunday, you're going to attempt something that you would not normally do on your own because you know you can't do it on your own, and therefore you would shy away from trying it, and you're going to step out because you know you need God to show up. Why would we try to do all these simple acts? Because faith is what pleases God. Faith pleases God. Our faith pleases God. And so it seems negative to maybe do a sermon series on things that kind of drive God crazy, but the answers to all of those things are so simple. It's really about faith. It's really about having faith. Faith is what pleases God, and we're going to go deeper with that in the coming weeks because in faith, we live for what matters the most, not for the world, but we live for the kingdom of God. In faith, we no longer accept sin, but we let God transform us. In faith, we get spiritually bold and bless people in our lives because of it. In faith, we acknowledge God in worship all day long. As we abide in the vine, as God says, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, remain in me all day long. In faith, we acknowledge God and worship Him in that fashion all day long. And one day, in faith, we will wake up and realize that we are different from this world. We are not of this world, the Bible says. We are spiritual aliens from a foreign land, from the kingdom of heaven. And we won't be conforming to the patterns of this world anymore because in faith we have been transformed. We're no longer indifferent because that's what drives God just a little bit crazy. It's what makes His stomach turn, Scripture would tell us. But instead, with a daily faith, we're going to have a passion and a fire and an energy for the things of the kingdom of God. Praise be to God. Here's a couple of action steps for you, and we're done. Number one, talk as a family on what you're passionate about. Talk about your passions. And now it could be about anything, but have these conversations about what are you passionate about. Let's talk about a hobby or the things at work or things about our family that we're passionate about. And then take that conversation to the spiritual realm and begin to include God in that conversation about passion with your family and say, how can we raise the passion level in our family for the kingdom of God? Number two this week, every day, and I want to go back to this assignment, every day this week, do one thing that requires faith. I've given you some ideas, and I believe if you open your eyes, God will bring opportunities in front of you every single day this week to do something that requires just a little bit of faith. And here's what I've experienced. When you step out in faith and you allow God to show up and prove Himself faithful, it just produces an energy and a newfound passion. All of a sudden, it just kind of peps you up a little bit in your spirit. And all of a sudden, it just peps you up for God, and you're ready to do that next thing. And all of a sudden, God shows up again, and then you really just build this spiritual divine momentum living in your life to move from being spiritually indifferent, which was what the accusation that Jesus leveraged to the church at Laodicea. And if that was be us, we wouldn't be the first church. You know, he's dealing with churches over 2,000 years ago. And he's saying, listen, don't be indifferent. Don't be lukewarm. That doesn't have a purpose. Hot or cold, though, that does. Let's see what God can do with our temperature level this week. Praise be to God. I want to invite you into a moment of quiet reflection. And here at the 8:15 service, we call this kind of our garden of prayer. And we're just gonna trust that God is gonna speak into our hearts, or He's already been speaking. And we're gonna take an opportunity to listen and say, Lord, speak to me. Do a new thing and a fresh thing in me. We're also gonna take advantage of the prayer cards and the seat backs in front of us. If you have a prayer request, a concern, or a joy that you'd like to share and have that prayed over, you can fill those out and bring them up during this time and put them at the baskets at either side of the altar area. And you can remain here and pray if you'd like, or you can return to your seat. If you want to be ministered to for whatever reason, you got something going on in your life, a challenge or trial, and you'd like prayer, or you want to step up in your spiritual commitment to God. You know, this is the day you want to give your life to Jesus Christ for the very first time. This is the day that you want to be baptized. Well, praise be to God, we're going to the lake. And it sounds like God's baptizing our church right now. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to go to the lake at 4:00 today, and we'd love to have you be a part of that baptismal experience. Or this is the day you're saying, you know what, I want to up my commitment here at this local church. I want to call Rolling Plains my church home, and I don't want to step up my commitment, and you're interested in membership. And we've got a 1.5-hour class coming up, and we're gathering with me and our leadership in a couple Sundays. We'll get you connected there. Whatever it is that you desire to be ministered to in your heart and your soul today, this is the opportunity to do it. So let's spend this time in prayer.